Take your Bible this morning, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Disciple means one who is willing to be taught, one who is willing to listen, one who has no agenda, one who will go anywhere his Savior leads him, one who is focused on the mission of his Christ. While reading Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through 23, Matthew describes a very interesting situation in the ministry of Christ. So-called disciple approached Christ. He was a scribe. A scribe is one who's what they call a legal or a law copyist. One who is a law expert. And so the guy is no dummy. He's educated. He's a reader. He can read. Back in those days, many people didn't read. And he comes to the Lord, and he says to the Lord, he said, "I'll follow you any place. I'll go any place you want me to go with you." Now Jesus turns to this unnamed, faithless, aimless disciple and explains some facts about the ministry. Remember the time when in the Bible when Peter was whining and complaining about the hardship of the ministry, where he says over there in Mark chapter 10, he said, "Lo, we have left all. We have followed thee." And Jesus answered, said unto thee, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land." And then he puts this, "worth persecution," with persecution, "in the world to come, eternal life." So Peter's saying, it is such a tough time. It's such a hard thing to be in the ministry. We've given up everything. And the Lord says, "No, you haven't. You'll get more." I was thinking about this when I was studying this message. I think of all the sisters I've got now. Amen. I started with three, and now I got about 80 of them here. Amen. I never had a brother, but man, look at all my brothers out here. Amen. My mom and dad are gone, but I guess at my age, there's not too many moms and dads left. But anyway, houses, I got a house. I live in a house. I just want you to know the ministry is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. Jesus said, if you're going to be a volunteer, you follow me. You need to know some things. You will have some good times. And you'll have some bad times. It will follow also persecution. There will be times beginning tough. But the eternal Heavenly Father has promised you lots more. So just keep serving Him anymore. He promised you at the end eternal life. I talked to somebody the other day, and they were saying, "Boy," so "this life is so tough," and they on and on. "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, if this life wasn't tough, nobody would want to go to heaven. Amen. It was just perfect. I mean, sunshine every day and rain every day and clouds every day and no clouds every day and perfect weather. Some of you guys are griping about how cold it is. I saw a wonderful thing on Facebook the other day. It said, "I don't know why God didn't let me hatch. Why didn't He let me hatch in Hawaii?" You know, there was a chicken walking across on the snow, you know. But, we live in a... We live, we enjoy life, we put clothes on, keeps us warm, amen. We have a fire in our house and keeps going, and we got water running. I was thinking about down in Mineral Wells, Texas, they lost their water. This is the third time they've lost their water. And I saw one of the families, used to go to our church, said, "Well, we got water again, amen." And that's a wonderful thing, that water after 3 days, amen. But I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have water 3 days in my house. I'd be a mess, amen. I was preaching at a college, and after chapel, a young man came up to me. He says, "Boy, when you were preaching, the ministry sounded like a great life. Lately, we have had a lot of preachers preaching, and they scared the life out of us with all the war stories and the church troubles and the financial troubles and the family troubles. I'm not sure that I could handle going into all that disappointment in the ministry. I told him, you have to remember that disappointments in life are God's appointments. God brings in things in our lives that seem like they just can't be bearable. God takes care of it. We'll keep going. Amen. Boy, it's a wonderful thing. You cannot always look at the, there's 100 good things that happen to the one bad thing. Amen. In life. But it seems like, that one thing happened, it cancels everything, It's kind of like the sentence when a person said, it's pretty good, but. Well, but negates everything that you just said, amen. And we as serve the Lord, we ought to serve God in happiness and joy, amen. Know that He's coming. Yes, there seems to be a lot of glory. Somebody said, there's a lot of glory in the ministry. Well, there seems a lot of glory involved in the ministry, the preaching ministry, but the pulpit is only for 2 or 3 hours a week. There's a whole bunch of lonely hours. There's a whole bunch of sleepless nights. There's wrestling with the flesh. There's a battling with Satan. There's the imps of hell, his cohorts, the rulers of darkness, principalities, powers in spiritual wickedness in high places. It's relentless. It goes on all the time, and there's no end to it. In fact, Ephesians 6, chapter 12 says, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Yes. The ministry is exciting, standing up, proclaiming God's Word. The ministry is exciting by sitting and studying the Word of God, finding food for the souls of the Holy, from the Holy Scriptures to feed the flock of God. Yes, it is a blessing to hear of your members when they tell you that they got something out of your message. I've sometimes illustrated it as like the feeling that mom or grandma has. She enjoys the compliments that she gets on her wonderful meal that she worked so hard to make everything so palatable. When folks come by and shake your hand and tell you that was a great message, it's like your mama or grandma who burned a midnight oil to make sure there's a wonderful supper, just to know that she was appreciated. It makes it all worth it. On Sunday morning, before Sunday school, I was printing off one of my sermons on the copier upstairs, and one of the guys went by and said, "Man, preacher, is that all you have to do? Just push a button and a brand new sermon come out? Wow, that's easy." I remember Dr. Jack Howes used to tell us that he was in his hallway, and he said, "I was heading to my office with a handful of files. And I walked by one of my staff members, and boy," he said, "I wish I could have a job like you, preacher. All you have to do is teach a Sunday school class and once a week and preach Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Boy, what a life." Dr. Heil said, I looked at him without a word, took those files and threw them up in the air, and then said, "I quit." As the favors are still flowing down there, he said, "You pastor this monster. I'm going to walk in." And he said, I walked into my office, shut the door with a big smile on my face. As your pastor, I want to give you the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. I want you to know what the Bible says from cover to cover. I want you to know how to stand for things that the Bible teaches you for and teaches you against. Jesus said in these men, and I am sure in the sweetness and tears of the friend, Jesus knows all the thoughts of men. He knows what was in their hearts. And it's interesting that he did not scold those two men. He gave them an opportunity to follow him. And when I was reading this, I thought, did you ever think what they could have been if they had only went with the Christ? Think what they could have done. Oh, my heart aches when I think of all the people that have come through these doors in the last 34 years. Men and women, teens and young adults who seem to have a great insight in the Scriptures, who seem to have great powers, a steam shovel abilities, but they do less to God than a teen's teaspoon. They left this church never to hear from them again, never to serve God. There's a lot of wasting out there going on in Christianity, wasting in great abilities that God give them. They have some of the greatest preachers and heard some of the greatest preachers and evangelists and Bible teachers and missionaries in the world. Yet, they don't get it. I've wept many times for them and asked God to have mercy on their souls. I want you to hear what Jesus told the first nameless, faithless, aimless man. Matthew 8:20. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, the ministry is all about faithfulness, service, and sacrifice. Here's a strange thing about the position of the Scriptures. When Christ and His 12 disciples moved to their next area of service, you do not hear about the nameless, aimless, faithless disciple anymore. The life of the ministry is called to faith. God wants us to follow Him by faith. If we are willing to follow Him by faith, you will gain the opportunity to teach others to trust Him by faith, therefore able to preach and teach faith to the congregation. I am trusting God that we can raise the needed money to building number 2 siding. I've seen God do some great things at Heritage Baptist Church. I mean to tell you some of the things that just they should never have happened. And I have no question and have no doubt that this is going to get done. Now back to these two nameless, faithless, aimless disciples. I want to ask you a sobering question. Doesn't it seem to you that these two nameless, aimless, faithless disciples have their own agendas about serving and sacrifice? Don't you think they did? The first nameless, faithless, aimless disciple said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, I really think he meant that. I really do. I really think he meant that. The other nameless, faithless, aimless disciple said, Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. I really think that he was truthful to the Lord, but he felt that he had an obligation to his families, and when he would get them taken care of, he'd be free to go. Let me remind you that nothing is convenient in life. Having children is not convenient. Bills are not convenient. Marriage is not convenient. Life is not convenient. Sickness is not convenient. Death is not convenient. Getting a ride to church is not convenient. Getting the kids in the car definitely is not convenient. And the weather is not convenient. Everything we deal with is not convenient. When you're a single guy and you don't have to worry about a wife, you don't have to worry about all the kids, hey, life is not as inconvenient as it is when you get a wife and you got to love her. And you got to take care of her. And you got to supply her needs. And you got to answer her prayers. Amen. And then all of a sudden, something happens. I was singing this to my wife the other day. How's that go? K-I-S-S-I-N-G, first come love, then come marriage, then comes march of the baby carriage. And she laughed. She thought that was pretty funny. You know what? That baby come along was not convenient. Is it? Is it? Well, nothing's convenient, but there sure are some nice things that go along with it. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Let me remind you, most of the time in our life, the old saying is, opportunity knocks but once. Thomas Edison said about opportunity, opportunity is missed by people because it is dressed up in overhauls and looks like work. Founder of the Pennsylvania colony, William Penn, likewise warned, opportunities should never be lost because they can hardly be regained. I want you to look what happened. Now, you remember now, keep in mind the nameless, the faithless, the aimless disciples, the two of them. One said, I'll go wherever you go. He said, wait a minute, I'll come when I bury my father. Now, you got to remember in the custom of that day that the oldest son, it was his responsibility to take care of business. And once daddy died, then he could do anything he wanted to do. But as long as dad was around, he was the mainstay of that family to take care of business. And the Lord says, what did the Lord tell him? Hey, let the dead bury the dead. Amen. I had a friend of mine. He became a pastor. He was a mortician, and God called him to preach. And one night he said, dear God, I can't preach. I just can't. And the Lord says, he went let the dead bury the dead. He went away to Bible college. Amen. And became a pastor. Amen. Look what happened. Now, with you got a mind of the 12 disciples. What kind of people are they? Some are kind of boisterous. Some are, you know, fishermen. They're just tax collector or whatever. What do you think they said when the first guy said, "Lord, I'll follow whether thou goest," and he doesn't follow him? What do you think those 12 disciples said when the guy said, "Hey, I'll come, but I gotta bury my father"? Do you think down inside of them they thought evil of these men? Because they've given themselves. I think they did. I really do. I think they said, yeah, them dirty rats. Yeah, look at us. We're serving God and you don't want to follow us. Come on, what's the deal? You know. I think that God put them on the spot. I think God brought them back to their humble being when the Bible says, and Jesus entered in the boat and there arose a great tempest. It may not have been, but it does seem to me that these great tempests that the Lord had teaching, had a teaching opportunity right here. There are a lot of people in churches that will look at somebody and all of a sudden they kind of peel off or they kind of drop off and they say, yeah, they weren't a Christian, or they do this judgment bit. You know what I'm talking about? Am I as clear as mud right now? You understand what I mean? There are people coming to church, and boy, they come in like just, boy, they're gangbusters, everything's going to be good, you know? And all of a sudden, you don't see them anymore. They go off, they move off, whatever. And deep down inside, you say, I didn't think he'd make it. Some people actually do that. But the disciples, the Lord took them out in the boat, all of a sudden, what happened? Whoo! My goodness, the Bible said there was a great tempest. His name, disciples, there were Christian ministry in the high winds and rough and heavy seas. Jesus wanted them to know that these are the things that I was trying to do. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not place. I just want you to know, guys, that life is very difficult sometimes. And I don't want you to lose faith. When the trouble comes and heartaches come, it's okay. It's okay to get scared. Or the guy who's in the military, and the guy says, are you afraid? He said, a fool is not afraid of what we're going to go into. He said, you do some stupid stuff if you're not afraid. Maybe it was a time for a teaching point. I'm just saying that these 12 may have been sneered and looking down at these two nameless, faithless, aimless disciples who were unwilling to follow Christ at that time. Christ wanted them to have pity and a mercy on them. Let me tell you something. God does not write you off. I had a man tell me 2 weeks ago, he said, Pastor, I can't do it. I've failed. I said, no, you have not failed. You may have made a mistake. And you may have got on the wrong road, but bless God, get back on the right road. And the faster you get back, the faster you can get going down the right road again. Amen. You know, it is only by the grace and mercy of God that I stand behind this pulpit today. And it's only by the mercy of God and the grace of God that you sit in that seat today. By the mercy and the grace of God that we're not in jail today. We're not at the hospital. We're not in the grave. Would somebody give me a witness? Would somebody say amen? Hey, quit being so religious minded you ain't no earthly good. Get off your soap opera. Soap opera. Get off your soap What do we, soapbox. I swore out of soap operas in 1972. Amen. Get off your soapbox. Get off your sanctified perch. Thank God for what you're doing and what you're at. Quit your judging others. Man, I got enough trouble of my own, let alone have to judge somebody else for what they're doing. Amen. The Bible accounts of these 12 disciples tells us they had their own agenda too. Let me tell you something. The ministry is not for the faithless. The ministry is not for the faint-hearted. The ministry is not for the weak and the faithless. He calls us soldiers of Jesus Christ. He calls for the disciples to move on His command. Yet, He reminds us in Paul's words of the church at Corinth how feeble His ministers are. That is why He tells you to pray. Paul the Apostle said, pray for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling. He's calling to the preachers. Brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I think what He's saying there is when a man of God does something and God uses that, the guy can't brag that he did it. It keeps him humble and brings all praise and honor and glory to God Almighty. Now back to the two nameless, faithless, aimless disciples. When I look up in the vast universe on a beautiful, clear night, I see all these beautiful, brilliant stars. They are so brilliant to look at. Once in a while, I see a brilliant comet flaming across the sky. A couple years ago, you looked up to the north and it was going to the west, this comet. And you could see its tail on it like that and just burning across. The most amazing thing. I see amazing falling stars sweeping across the horizon. Have you ever been down to camp where there's no lights down the athletic field, laying on your back and seeing the magnificent stars? It's an incredible thing. And of course, we're awed at their presence. But it is gone without seconds, that shooting star. Nothing more to see, never to gaze on it again, vanished out of sight. These two nameless, faithless, aimless disciples remind me of the falling star. I've pastored for almost 50 years. And I can tell you, if you stay for here a few years, you will get a witness a few falling stars and comets so brilliantly stream across the horizon of our skies. You know, it's okay to watch them in awe. In fact, I like to see them come in their brilliance to our church, and they sparkle for a while and make a flash. They come and help us for a while, and then they're gone. But to be honest with you, I love the stars that are faithful. They're stars that I love, and it's a star called Polaris. Many of you call it the North Star. You ask me, why do you love that North Star so much, preacher? Well, on the fourth day of creation, the Bible said, and He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament for the heavens to give light upon this earth. Polaris, the North Star, has been shining there and is the exact place since God ordained it. It hasn't moved. Though the other stars move daily, the North Star always in the same place. Tonight, go out and look for the Ursus Major, what you'd call the Big Dipper. And draw an imaginary straight line from the bottom of the Dipper to the top of the cup of the Dipper. and then take it to the Ursulus Minor, which is Little Dipper, at the top of the handle of that dipper, and you'll find that's the North Star. North Star always is the same place. It is in, points you to the north. It always there. It never nor ever will change until God gives us a new heaven and earth. That's an incredible thing. One more time, listen to the fact of the nameless, aimless, faithless disciple said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen to what Jesus said. Don't miss it now. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the bird of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not place to lay his head. Again, listen to what the nameless, the other nameless, faithless, aimless disciple said. Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. And again, listen to Jesus answered, but Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. As a pastor, I've met many, many who have felt the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the money wasn't there, and when the promises weren't met, when the rubber hit the road, you couldn't find them to save your soul. They were like a brilliant star, that flashy comet, never to be seen again. That is why Jesus says in Matthew 22 and verse 14, many are called, few are chosen. Look at the nameless, faithless, aimless disciples who promised Jesus he'd go anywhere. I am sure he was a sincere man. I am sure he had a great deal of love for the Lord, yet he's nowhere to be found. Why? Simply. I'll tell you simply. It's what we cry all the time. Suffer me first. Colossians 1 verse 3 verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections. That inordinate means to that's unrestrained, unrestrained affections. Evil concupiscence, that means lust of strong desire. And covetousness, which is idolatry. God says, mortify him. That means death has no opinion. Death has no preference. Death has no selection. Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. The Proverbs says, hey, you can hope you make all your money you can, but I'll tell you something, it's going to fly away. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. God said, let me tell you something. You get in this ministry business, you just figure out that you can do what God tells you to do, and you accept what God tells you to do. There's a song that goes that we sing a lot, and I was listening to a missionary one time. He was singing. He says about when God gives you what God gives you. God give me grace to swallow. Amen. Swallow things like this. Lord, just give me what you give me. I'll take what you give me. Remember what the natural man cries. Me first. Man has always been willing to waste his affection on things of this world and say, let me waste my life. I got plenty of time, and if I have any left over, Lord, I'll donate that to you. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, I am the life. He said, don't wait. The fields are white unto harvest. Follow me. The true Christian is a bond slave. He has only one eye, and that's for his servant. He only has one, that's for his master. He only has one end, that's for his master. He only has one heart, that's for his master. He only has one prayer, that's for his master. He only has one desire, that's for his master, so he could please him. A religion that gives nothing and costs nothing and suffers nothing is worth nothing. It is better to train 10 men to do the work of 10 people Moody used to say, but he said, it's a lot harder to teach those 10 men to teach others, amen. At the close of life, at the close of your life, the question will not be, how much have I gotten, but how much have I given? At the close of life, it's not how much you have won, it's how much you have done. Not how much you have saved, but how much you have sacrificed. It will be how much you have loved and served, not how much you have been honored. I pray to God that y'all give yourself to the Lord. And you be careful what you think about other people. You make sure that you take care of the business yourself. Amen. You got enough problems of your own, let alone worry about somebody else and doing their job and keeping up with the Joneses and keeping up with everybody else. Why don't you just live for God? Why don't you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You said, but preacher, I've already given my life to the Lord. Well, then get busy at it. Get busy at it. Do what God has said. I'll tell you what. The Bible said that storm those disciples went out. The Bible said that the waves came over the boat. I don't know about you, but I've been in some storms in a boat before, and it's a scary thing. I was with a pastor in Midland, Michigan. Their congregation tells me I tried to kill their preacher. Every time I'll go preach there, I said, yeah, this is the preacher that tried to kill our pastor. I was out on Holder Lake, and I had a pretty decided boat. The trouble is I had 7 people in the boat. It was overloaded, and it was a beautiful night. All of a sudden, I noticed my boat turned. We were anchored, but it just turned like that. And all of a sudden, I felt the waves start coming. I said, okay, guys. I said, rail it in. I said, we're getting off this thing because Holder Lake is a very dangerous lake. It's almost like the Sea of Galilee because the winds come down through the channel of the lake. And his boy just caught a fish. The kid all night couldn't catch a fish. I mean, he had stink on his hand. I don't know what was wrong with him. He just couldn't catch. Everybody else kept these nice 3, 4, 5 pound rainbows and silvers. He just couldn't catch a fish. And finally he caught one. And the preacher said, oh, Brother Shear, he says, don't stop. He says, don't leave. He says, hey, I want my boy to catch another one. I said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I said, we're getting off this lake. We're clear on the other side over by, if some of you know where Split Rock is, Senior Citizen Beach, Black Beach, whatever. And I fired up that boat. And I said, well, this is the way it is. Either you reel in or not, because I said, we're going. And I got that boat. And when I did that, all of a sudden the wind just come up. And it's crazy to me. I got up on a wave. I rode that wave almost all the way to the BLM, which is the end of the lake. When we got in there, it had 60 gallons of water in the bottom of my boat. The next morning we got up, the boat was sitting. I had a deep boat. The boat was sitting this far without being under the water. I tell you what. I couldn't hardly see. It was raining. I was standing up trying to locate that light, if you know where that is, a BLM landing. I was scared to death. It was black, lightning. It was crazy. Wind blowing, water coming over top of that boat. I think of the disciples. You know what Jesus did? What did he do? He went to sleep. And they woke him up. Hey, we're going to perish. Aren't they the same guys probably who said, I know this is supposition. Yeah, those guys couldn't take it. Do you know that once they got over there, they met with a Gadarene? That man was the scariest man you ever met in your life. He was a screaming and yelling in those tombs. I think those boys looked back and said, yeah, we're not as tough as we are. By the way, none of us are tough. We're all human. But we have a God in heaven that can still the sea. We got a God in heaven that can tell the devils to go into the pigs. We have a God that'll take care of us. Yeah, that's scary. Sometimes you just wonder. Sometimes you stay awake at night and say, oh God, oh God, oh God, pray for people. Don't give up on people. Please don't give up on people. Hey, they're scared. They're running. They don't know which way to go. And the worst thing you do is run when you're scared. You really get hurt. Stay. Relax. Trust God. Be happy when people come in, when there's a big flash in the pan, and while they're, and all of a sudden they're, just stay seated. Be careful. Watch what you do and serve God in a great way. I encourage you in 2017, serve God in a great way. Find some place to serve God. Find some place to serve God. Find some place you can help someone. Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Help us, Lord Jesus, to trust in our Savior who is asleep below the deck. Lord, if they just understood, just realized that God, the creator of this universe, the creator of the water, the creator of the wind, the creator of the storm, was in the boat with them. It's not going to happen to them then. Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to trust you in this. Help us to trust you in our lives. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Are you here today? And you do not have a Jesus that you can trust? You're here today and you just don't have one who promises to take care of you and love you? I'm telling you, he is there. All you have to do is ask him to come into your heart and save you from your sins. Are you here today and say, preacher, I'm just scared to death? Well, most of us are. But we trust the Lord to take care of us and supply our needs and take care of us and watch over us and watch care for us. The troubles will come, the sorrows will come, but Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. He promises. Let's stand. Everyone standing here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not have that Savior in my heart and I want him today. I need a Savior that loves me and cares for me. I need a Savior that is not going to leave me or forsake me. Why don't you come today? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Are you sure? Are you on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life that you bowed your head to a holy God and said, God, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to come be my Savior today. You hear that and you say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. Why don't you step out of that seat and come down this aisle and say, preacher, I want Jesus today. Maybe you're here today and you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you haven't followed the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism that's down in the water and up out of the water. Why don't you come at this time? You're here today and you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. Why don't you come at this time? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that we get to serve you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the call of the ministry. Thank you, Lord God, the call of a Christian to service. Help us to be faithful in everything we do and say. Help us to be very careful that we would serve you. And help us be careful around those who seem to be a flash in the pan or a comet or a falling star. Help us to be sweet around them. Help us to be encouragement around them. Maybe we'd be the one who would be there to comfort their heart and help them to stand by the stuff. Lord, I'll pray for those who have at one time felt the call of God and they've lost it. Lord God, it's still there. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. Lord, now bless us now as we go to our separate home. Be it those who are hurting today. Be it those that are away from us right now, Lord, keep them safe. Be it those, Lord Jesus, that are sick. Be it those that are going to have to attend funerals this week, Lord God. Would you please put your loving arms around about them and care for them, Lord God. And Lord, may we be the ones who would care for them too, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no saying in our church, give me three, you know what I'm talking about. Have a great day.